Good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is August 23rd, 2022. Joining us in just a minute, we are going to bring in someone that knows all about the Buckeyes. He's been covering them since 1988. He is an award-winning writer and editor for 24/7 Sports, Bucknuts Media, and you know, just a lot of great stories, and I know he's got a lot of great contacts down there in Columbus. So we will bring him in just a minute. That is going to be Mr. Steve Hellwagon. But first, I want to let you know that Youngstown Studio is brought to you by the Molinterno Insurance Agency. We appreciate their support down here at Youngstown Studio. We are also sponsored by Youngstown Click. Appreciate both of their businesses and you know, the support of Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show. So without further ado, let's bring in Mr. Steve Hellwagon. Steve, you with us?
Yes. What's going on today?
Not much. How's it down there? I'm guessing you're in Columbus right now.
Yep, I live just outside Columbus. We're actually heading into campus here later this afternoon. They're having practice, and we'll have interviews, I think, today with some people from the secondary group. Today is the position group that we're going to be honing in on today.
All right. Very good. So, Steve, obviously, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day and joining us. You know, I know you know and have a ton of contacts down there in Columbus. So I want to pick your brain a little bit, but I want to start out, I guess, maybe with a little bit of a negative that hopefully we can turn into a positive. So obviously, we all know how the final regular season game went last year to the team up north. I want to ask you, as someone that's around in Columbus, around the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, around the team, around Coach Day a lot, do you think that loss, now no one wants to lose to the team up north ever, but do you think that loss perhaps could be a positive in the long run for this team and this program?
Well, I think it is something, the motivation from losing that game, the nature in which they lost it, where they got out toughed and out physicaled up front, both sides of the ball, really. Michigan ran the ball extremely well. Ohio State couldn't stop the run, and Ohio State could not establish the run on offense the way that they would have liked. So C.J. Stroud did everything he could. He stood on his head, but it wasn't enough for Ohio State to come out of there with that win, 42-27. I think that pushed them into the offseason, and it was something that was probably brought up on a daily basis, that they just weren't good enough on that one day in Ann Arbor to win that game. So that's not acceptable, obviously, at Ohio State. This last 20 years, Ohio State's dominated that rivalry, only lost two or three times over the last 20 years, whatever the exact total is. And the feeling is they got to get back to a physical brand of football on both sides of the ball and be tough. And I think that was something that they've worked extremely hard on. And there is only so much of that you can really do, though. I mean, it's kind of a push-pull, because the harder that you work on those type of things and the tougher you make it and the as physical as it gets, you also run the risk of suffering some injuries at some key positions. So they've done the best that they could to manage that and to try and stay injury-free and yet really bring out that physicality. So I think we'll see in the opener against Notre Dame a different football team. You know, people are like, are they going to be hungrier and all this other stuff? Look, I mean, they're 18 to 22-year-old kids. They're giving it everything they've got. Going to let the chips fall where they may. Looks like a pretty good football team on paper, but obviously until they get out there between the lines, you just don't know how things are going to match up. So my guess is it's going to be a positive thing, I think, going forward for this team to build off of it. But, you know, once you kick the ball off, it's a new season, and everything kind of reverts at that point.
Sure. And that's a great point you make. I think so often we forget that these are kids that just graduated high school, that some of them have barely even started classes yet at Ohio State. And we're expecting a lot out of these kids on our, you know, Saturday afternoons or evenings. That's a great point. So, Steve, let me ask you, you know, with Coach Knowles now coming in from Oklahoma State on the defensive side of the ball. Have you noticed, obviously there's a different scheme there. Have you noticed the different toughness with that defense? Have you noticed, or is it more just scheme related?
Yeah, our ability to watch practice is pretty much limited to a couple days. I mean, we really haven't seen a whole lot with our own two eyes. But to hear Jim Knowles talk about it, they asked him what is keeping him up at night. What are his major concerns? And he said he really didn't have any. I take that as a very good sign. I think coming out of the first scrimmage a week ago on Saturday, there was a lot of talk about how the defense had played much better and had done an outstanding job in containing the offense. So, you know, you kind of read between the lines on all these different indicators, and it just seems like, yes, they're getting back to a physical brand of football on the defensive side of the ball, stopping the run, rushing the passer, doing all those little things it takes to win football games. And, you know, what's passed for Ohio State defense three of the last 4 years just hasn't been good enough. They've given up 20 or more points three of the last 4 years. They've had their best teams. That average is usually down around 13 or 14 points a game. So they're giving up an extra touchdown in recent years per game, and that's not acceptable. That's not national championship caliber defense like we saw out of Georgia last year. They won it because they just had some amazing defense on that side of the ball. So I think for Ohio State, that's what you're going to see. I think they're going to set the tone up front defensively with the guys up front. Larry Johnson will be rotating a lot of guys on that front four. And then to hear Jim Knowles talk about it, he would like to have a set group and a back seven, which is two linebackers and five defensive backs, and really go with that group primarily. But there'll also be a few backups that get in there in the back seven as well. But to me, it seems like things are really starting to come around for Ohio State defensively.
That's great. That's great news. You know, going back, especially in the Jim Tressel era, we're very familiar with that here in Youngstown. You know, defense was such a big deal, and that's how they won a lot of games down there. So speaking of Coach Tressel, Coach Cooper, Urban Meyer, now Ryan Day, you've been down there, and correct me if I'm wrong, since about 1988, I believe it said, covering the Buckeyes. So tell me, you know, maybe some of the characteristics about Ryan Day that you can maybe compare and contrast with those other three coaches that make him a special guy.
Well, he's a hard worker. I don't know if I'd call him a grinder or not, but I think he's in that mix as a guy who really puts the time in to make it right. They leave no stone unturned. They are meticulous with this offensive planning of his. I had a chance to sit in on a chalk talk he did for high school coaches one time, and it left me kind of confused. And I just wonder about those college kids, how they handle all the intricacies of this offense. And yet, you know, when you put it out there on the field, it's like a symphony, you know, is arranging these notes with the way that they attack opposing defenses. And that clinic that they put on in the Rose Bowl was really something. And, you know, yes, Utah was a little bit undermanned, but Ohio State to put up some of the numbers that they did was absolutely astounding. And again, I just think he's a guy that they're going to recruit the best players in the country. They're going to have the best assistant coaches that they can have to teach them. The offense is going to be the state of the art. The defense is going to emerge and get better. And I think that when all the pieces come together, it quite possibly could lead to another national championship at Ohio State. Are we ready to say it this year? I can tell you've got the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. You've got the wide receiver, Jackson Smith, the Jigba, the two top guys at their respective positions in the country going out there. And now can the rest of the other 20 starters, I guess, on offense and defense play up close to their level and bring a championship home for Ohio State? That remains to be seen. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun to sit back this fall and watch this team play.
No doubt. No doubt. Definitely a great fun style of offense. And hopefully the defense can match that this year. So you had mentioned JSN and obviously CJ Stroud. You add Travion Henderson to that mix. You got probably the best trio of skill position guys in the country. So what are your difference on this offense. You know, they were number one ranked in so many categories last year. Can they be better this year than they were last year?
Well, I think that would be hard to do without Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. I mean, those were two huge playmakers in their own right. So, I mean, you take them out of the equation. I mean, it's possible they could approach some of the same numbers that they had last year. I wouldn't look for them to be number one in both yardage and points once again. But the issue is, can you run the football when you need to run the football? Can you put the ball in the end zone when you're in the red zone? All those other things. Can you make a couple big plays in each half to really kind of flip the field position and do all those kind of things? And I think that that's what this offense is built to do. And my guess is they're going to light the scoreboard up. Is it going to be as good as it was last year? Hopefully, if the defense is much improved, it won't need to be. I mean, if you can still score 45 points a game and win these games, that's plenty good enough. So to my way of thinking, they're going to be just fine. Offensive line, probably about the same, I would say. Maybe, you know, better in run blocking, maybe not quite as good in pass protection, given the changes in personnel up front. But again, you know, it's kind of a trade-off, and I think that I look that they are not going to have any problem scoring points. I just figure with Ryan Day and how intricate this offense is, how imaginative they are on offense, they're not going to have any problem moving the football.
Okay. Now, obviously, we know Jackson Smith and Jigba, arguably the best receiver in the country, coming back. You had mentioned Olave and Wilson go on to the NFL, first-round draft picks. You can even throw in, you know, Williams from Alabama, former Buckeye, in there too. Who is the next big guy to step up in that second role? Do you think it's a Marvin Harrison? Do you think it's an Emeka Ebuka or Julian Fleming? What's your thought on that? Who's the next guy?
I think all those guys are going to have opportunities throughout the course of the season. I mean, it's a long season. You're talking about 12-game regular season, a Big Ten championship game, and then possibly a couple games in the playoff, you know. So it really is a long season. You need a lot of guys to get through a 15-game season. I think Marvin Harrison Jr., based off what we saw in the Rose Bowl, he caught 3 touchdown passes. I think he's the next guy up. Emeka Ebuka, I think, is right there with him. Julian Fleming, they told a story in the scrimmage that they had this past Saturday. He dislocated his shoulder. He popped it back into place, went back out there and played and caught 2 more touchdown passes. Wow. After that. So that'll give you kind of the idea of what you're working with here, the kind of football players and athletic freaks that you're working with at Ohio State right now. And then we'll see if some other guys can get in that mix as well. Jaden Ballard, I think, is another guy that's probably up there on that list as far as the receivers. Cade Stover at tight end, Mitch Rossi, G. Scott Jr. as well. And then, of course, the running backs, you know, they're kind of down right now. Evan Pryor, sure, out with an injury, kind of leaves them with only 3 scholarship running backs, which is Travion Henderson, Mayan Williams, and a true freshman, Dallin Hayden. So those 3 guys are going to get a lot of work as well. But no shortage of firepower, it would seem, for Ohio State at those skill positions. And I think the ball's going to be in the air early and often. And Stroud, if his offensive line can give him the time, is going to pick a lot of people apart once again.
Have you heard any word? You know, he's a true freshman. He's a walk-on. But a kid that made some major noise up this way last year was T.C. Caffey. Have you heard his name around at all for the Buckeyes?
Yeah, I think he's in that group at running back. They've probably got 2 or 3 walk-ons there working out with the scholarship players. And I think it'd be premature for me to say he is or he isn't going to play this year. I mean, if they have injuries – and he practices well enough, then perhaps they put him in a game and see what he can accomplish. But obviously, great for them to have him there as depth. And as we said, I mean, this is a very thin position. They had a transfer, Chip Trayonum, who came from Arizona State, who was a running back out there. And last week they dedicated one day where they said, "You're going to be an offensive player today. Here, give us back your white jersey and here's a red jersey and you're going to go." And he said he looked like he could fit right in at running back, obviously. So he wants to play linebacker. if Akeem pushed a shove that they needed another running back, he could move over there at a moment's notice. And he's not starting at linebacker right now. They've got Steel Chambers at one spot and Tommy Eichenberg at the other. So Chip Trayonum, if they call his number to play on offense, he'd be there as well. But Caffey, I think, is in that mix, going to give him a great look in practice. And, again, just starting out his college career, I mean, it's 4 or 5 years can take you a long way in this sport. No. And, you know, either at Ohio State, potentially somewhere else, if that situation ever arose, perhaps he's a guy that rises to the forefront at some point.
Okay. All right, very good. Yeah, you got some versatility in that linebacker and running back room with, you know, Trayonum and Steel Chambers and the tight end's name is escaping me right now that flipped and played linebacker.
Stover.
Stover, yeah, Cade yeah. Stover. So, yeah.
I think Chambers' days as a running back are over. Him starting at linebacker, I think that Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator, the linebackers coach, would put his foot down on that one and say, no, you're not taking my starting linebacker to play running back. But, you know, the big thing is it's all for the team, and it's everything that each of these guys can do when their name is called, their number is called to step forward. And, you know, the fun thing about it is what are we, 11 days out from Ohio State, Notre Dame at Ohio Stadium. And the hype and the excitement just gets bigger with each passing day.
Absolutely. That's so exciting because, you know, last time Notre Dame and Ohio State played in the regular season, I was in middle school. So, you know, I have memories of it, but I don't remember it very well. So we'll just ask you about Notre Dame real quick here. How exciting is it, you know, a school that's in the Midwest, you know, competes with Ohio State for recruits and, you know, a national brand like, you know, Notre Dame and Ohio State. How exciting is that down there right now in Columbus, getting ready for this game?
Well, especially at this current state in time in our sport, where you're talking about the Big Ten is expanding and taking on USC and UCLA, and now have there been overtures to the Big Ten to Notre Dame? Is Notre Dame listening? Does Notre Dame want to look and see what these television contracts are all about and what their potential annual take would be if they joined the Big Ten? I think it's all intriguing questions. You know, the situation is pretty simple. You have Notre Dame, which is in South Bend, Indiana, a national school in terms of college football up there in terms of, Heismans and All-Americans and national championships and Hall of Famers and any wins and any way you want to qualify it. They're in the top five in every metric, just as Ohio State is. So you have two of the top five programs in the country going head-to-head, and they've only played each other 6 times all time. Mm-hmm. They're only separated by 4 hours. And Notre Dame has had better, bigger rivalries over the years with the likes of Purdue and Michigan State, and Michigan certainly within the Big Ten. They played Wisconsin just last year and beat Wisconsin 41-13 at Soldier Field. So that'll tell you what they're capable of when everything's kind of rolled in their way. But I think beyond the fact that it's these two great brand names, it's Ohio State and Notre Dame. When you drill right down and look at the two teams, Notre Dame is picked to be in the top 10 this year. I think they are 5th in the AP poll, whereas Ohio State's number 2. It'll be the first time ever Ohio State will open against a national top 5 opponent in its season opener, which is pretty remarkable in 130 years, although the rankings really only go back to the 1930s, so about 85, 90 years of having those AP rankings. It's the first time that this type of a matchup will happen for Ohio State in the first game of the season. Notre Dame's played really good football in recent years. I think they've won their last 8 or 9 true road games. So when they go on the road, they don't back down from anybody. But they lost a lot of really good players off of that team last year. They lost to Oklahoma State. I think it was the Fiesta Bowl and kind of a big shootout game that was played. The quarterback is gone. They'll have a new quarterback, Buckner. I believe Tyler Buckner will take over. A lot of unknowns about him. They have a lot of good skill position players back, including Lorenzo Styles Jr., whose dad was from the Youngstown area, played at Ohio State. And his brother, Sonny Styles, is a freshman safety on the Ohio State team, although I don't look for him to play a whole lot on defense. Perhaps he gets in on special teams. Maybe one brother will tackle the other on a kick return or something. We don't know just yet what Sonny Styles' role will be. But Notre Dame, to me, is a team that if I had to play them in 2022, and I know later in the year I think they have a game at Clemson as well. So these are their two biggest games of the year, at Ohio State and at Clemson, and we'll find out whether they are a true top 10 team or not. I would rather play them in the first game than rather in the 11th or 12th game when Buckner and the rest, I mean, it's a very young team. I looked at their, like, every one of their star, quote, star players that's coming back is a sophomore. So they had played a lot of freshmen last year who got their first taste of playing time. And so I'd rather play them now before those guys, Buckner and the rest of those guys, get that experience and they become almost an unbeatable team, perhaps for a normal team by the end of the season. So Ohio State, a two-touchdown favorite, makes sense. The shoe probably will be on the other foot next year. When Ohio State goes out the South Bend, it'll be the third week of the season in 2023, next year, out there in South Bend. And Ohio State will be the team, presumably, with the new quarterback, if you figure that C.J. Stroud will be going off to the NFL after this season.
Sure, sure. Well, I got to ask you real quick about C.J. Stroud, too. Dwayne Haskins in 2018, under Ryan Day, at least his tutelage, 4,831 yards. Do you think C.J. Stroud breaks that record this year?
Wow, that is a great question. I think some of it depends on how out of hand some of these games get. Is he in competitive football games in the fourth quarter where he's still out there throwing? I don't know that he's going to be in a lot of these cases. He may get his 300, 350 yards, and they could be up 35-3 at halftime or, you know, 40-14 at halftime or whatever it could be. I mean, just outrageous scores we've seen with him at quarterback. And I think they led the Michigan State score ended up 56-7. Maybe it was 42-0 at halftime, something like that last year. And that's against a team that went on and won one of the New Year's Six Bowls over Pittsburgh, a team that beat the Big Ten champion Michigan and the ACC champion Pittsburgh in the course of the season. And Ohio State humbled them, you know, with what they were able to do offensively. So I think we just don't know how it's going to play out. And how long do you leave him in there? It's, again, a balance thing. It's great if he can throw for 400 yards in a given game, but you need him to play next week. That's the thing. So you can't have him out there in the third quarter of a 56-6 game and, you know, suffer a broken leg. That's just not acceptable. So numbers be damned is kind of my thing. Win the games. And if they're in the national championship hunt, the Big Ten championship hunt, then he'll probably be in the Heisman race again. He was fourth in the balloting last year. As far as whether he's going to throw for 4,800 or 5,000 yards, he's going to have to get off to a quick start. I mean, it would really help, you know, in these first three games, Notre Dame, and then I think it's Toledo or Arkansas State, then Toledo, whatever that order is. If he can get out and have 1,200 yards or 1,100 yards in the first three games, that would help the cause. And playing 15 games would also help the cause as well. Get to the national championship game, he's got a chance to take some of these Ohio State and Big Ten passing records and put them completely out of reach.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the biggest number that we're all looking for is that 15-0. So, let's just get that one.
They're going to throw a parade for you. Trust me, and you'll never have to buy another beer in Columbus, Ohio. But Amen.
All right. So just a couple more questions before I get you out of here. Your favorite moment over your years covering the Buckeyes? Do you have a favorite? I don't know. It's hard to maybe narrow it down to a play. Do you have a favorite game or a favorite moment or, you know, anything that you can put into perspective covering Ohio State?
Yeah, there have been a lot of them, but for our generation, I mean, to go back and think about how tough the 80s and the 90s were, and for them to first have the breakthrough in 1996, the way they beat Arizona State in dramatic fashion, Joe Germain led the team down, you know, to the win in 1996 at the Rose Bowl. I was lucky to be there for that, covering that game way back January the 1st of 1997. And then that whole national championship run in 2002, you know, when they beat Michigan the last game, and there were some incredible games that led up to that. We're going to write about them all fall here. Actually, the very first game of the season was actually played 20 years ago tomorrow. They played Texas Tech in the Pigskin Classic on August the 24th of 2002. Maurice Clarett, very first game, had 175 yards rushing and three touchdowns. Cliff Kingsbury, the coach from Arizona Cardinals, was the quarterback. And Mike Leach, who's bounced around now at Mississippi State, was the head coach of Texas Tech 20 years ago. Buckeyes won 45-21. They had a thriller at Cincinnati. Holy Buckeye against Purdue. Overtime at Illinois. They beat Penn State on an interception by Chris Gamble. No offensive touchdowns in that game. A vintage Trestle-type win. They win that game against Penn State. But when they beat Michigan, the people, they lowered the field the year before at Ohio Stadium. Is now an 8-foot drop. Those people came over the guardrail, and in a matter of seconds, as soon as Will Allen had caught the interception at the end of the game, they had come to the middle of the field like this, and thousands of people, because it was the breakthrough moment everybody had been waiting decades for. They beat Miami. I think Miami's the greatest game Ohio State's ever played. If you get a chance to watch that on ESPNU or Big Ten Network sometime, or can go on YouTube or whatever, never sat down and really watched that game, I think that's the greatest game Ohio State's ever been a part of. Double overtime. Miami was a 12-point favorite, had won 34 straight games. Ohio State hadn't won national championship in 34 years. That kind of says it all, 31-24. They won that game. And then the other one's probably Alabama. The Sugar Bowl in 2014, you had all this guff about, oh, you can't beat an SEC team. Can't beat Alabama. Had never beaten Alabama previously. And Ezekiel Elliott ripped off that 85-yard run there at the Superdome, and they pulled that one out. The national championship against Marcus Mariota in Oregon was an anticlimax. Everybody knew they were going to win that one. That had been decided. I mean, Ohio State was clearly the best team after they beat Alabama. And to me, I say that's number two. I think Miami's number one, Alabama's number two, and then probably some games Woody's teams won, beating USC back in 1968 in the Rose Bowl, and different things like that would match up your list. But Ohio Stadium, the 1995 Notre Dame game is right there with that 2002 Michigan game, two of my favorite memories at Ohio Stadium. And obviously there have been some big games against Michigan in years recent since then. But I think on September the 3rd, there's going to be a lot of new memories created with this night game against Notre Dame. And we'll see if the Buckeyes can ride the enthusiasm. They're going to be backed by 105,000 people, and it's going to be another outstanding Ohio State moment, I think. And Coach Trestle and his 2002 team will be there and be recognized as well as part of the festivities. So it's going to be one of those days I don't think people are ever going to forget.
Absolutely. That team will always be special to me. That was actually my first year at Ohio State, was 2002. And, coming from Youngstown, I knew Jim Trestle very well. And, what an awesome season. And so let me just, ask you this too about Coach Trestle. I'm sure you've had plenty of interactions with him. What are your memories? What are your, some of your experiences with Coach Trestle?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was able to get in touch with him about a week ago, and I said I wanted to do an interview with him to kind of talk about him coming back. And he was traveling in his car and got back to me, and we spent 30 minutes reminiscing, talking about that 2002 season. And I posted the entire interview in two parts on our site, bucknuts.com. So you can get kind of his 20-year later recollection of how that team was assembled. And then as I tick through all those games for you, just kind of the road that they took meandering down that path. And, Miami was the dominant team that showed up out in Phoenix, and Ohio State was this aw shucks team that just came in and took their right fist and punched the bully right in the mouth, and the bully fell down and never got up. So, but Trestle to me, you know, he understood, and I think that that was something Earl Bruce understood, what it meant to be at Ohio State, because of course he coached for Earl Bruce. So, and he'd grown up in Berea, Ohio. His dad, Lee Tressel, was the longtime coach at Baldwin Wallace. He played for him. His dad won a Division III national championship. And, of course, Jim won four, one AA, and one at the major college level with Ohio State, and played for several more. I think he played for two more at Youngstown State and two more at Ohio State as well, in 06 and 07 season. So he is a winner first and foremost, and a guy that can build football teams, a leader of men. I don't have enough good things I can say about him. I mean, we could probably sit here for the next hour. I could tell you about all the different great things that he did that I witnessed. You know, he and I had a mutual acquaintance, Gary House, too, who was from there in the Youngstown area. Gary worked for us as a photographer. Jim spoke at his funeral. Gary passed away due to cancer, you know, just this past winter. And Jim came and helped organize an appreciation birthday party for him right about this time. It was Labor Day weekend a year ago, and Gary was in the final months, you know, knew he was terminal with cancer. And then he spoke at his funeral as well. So I can't thank Gary enough for everything he did for me. I can't thank Coach enough for everything he did for me, everything he did for Gary. And, you know, again, just endemic of the kind of man, the kind of person that he is, and the number of lives and number of people that he's helped. And he got an extremely bad deal, I thought, at Ohio State with the way that all turned out. And, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. You wish everything had turned out differently, and put his trust in a lot of people that let him down. And, you know, in some ways was his own worst in some of the things he did as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's a Hall of Fame human being. And I think there's no doubt about that. And I think Ohio State owes it to him. Woody Hayes has a sign. Paul Brown has a sign at Ohio Stadium. Jim Tressel needs one as well that says six Big Ten championships. They can't count the seventh one, obviously, and 8-1 against the University of Michigan. Got to deduct the one for the year that was vacated, but in the 2002 national championship. That needs to be put up on the facade at Ohio Stadium. And he should also dot the I. Earl Bruce dotted the I. Woody Hayes dotted the I. Jack Nicklaus did, and maybe a few others. I don't know. Bob Hope, maybe. I don't remember. But certainly Jim Tressel ought to be there in that formation at some point. Maybe next year when they play Youngstown State would be the perfect day for that to happen.
Oh, what a great idea. I would have never even thought about that, but that's a perfect ending, I guess you could say, for his Ohio State legacy, to dot that I. And, you know,
well, John Cooper had it at a high level. They finished number two in the polls twice, but they just couldn't win that one game when they had to win the national championship, whether it was Michigan 93, 95, 96, or Michigan State 98. They always had that one loss in there that just crippled them. And then, you know, with Tressel, they finally got over the hump and they win the one national championship, and they're in contention for others. And then Urban Meyer came in and took it to an even higher level with the recruiting and being in the top five every year and, you know, winning 12 and 13 games almost every year. And so that's the legacy that Ryan Day has now left to uphold. Can he maintain the level that Urban Meyer created at Ohio State and surpass it? I think you got to thank Jim Tressel for his part in taking it from where Cooper had it, which was very good, to great, to incredible. And now we'll see if they can stay at incredible.
Yeah, I think what you said earlier, Jim Tressel gets it, and he understood that rivalry right from the get-go, and that has turned around that legacy of Ohio State and Michigan. And this is our year to bounce back and start a new winning streak. So, you know, Steve, you actually, my next question was about Gary, but you touched on him. Gary was a guest on our show last November before he passed, and a great guy. You know, I used to coach high school basketball, and Gary covered a lot of our games, so that's how I got to know him. But I'm glad you touched on him, and you know, being a former colleague, and how you and him and Coach Tressel sort of all you know, knew each other and, you know, just did some great things. So,
Worked with Gary for 25 years. And when I left Buckeye Sports Bulletin in 2003, he came with me to Bucknuts. And he and I were the ones that really got it going in the very first year. And I owe him so much for coming with me, taking that leap of faith, coming over to Bucknuts with me. And he would cover Cleveland Glenville and all the prospects like Maurice Claret and everybody in the Mahoning Valley and Canton and Akron, that whole corridor, the whole 216-330. Ohio State wouldn't have had any of these championship teams without those two area codes. When you think about it, all the great players that came from Youngstown, Akron, Canton, and Massillon, and also up to Cleveland and all around Cleveland as well. Gary kept us in the running on all that coverage and really helped us brand Bucknuts as the best website for Ohio State sports. And we've kept it there in his memory and his honor in the years since then. And we're going to keep right on trucking.
Well, Steve, you know, you guys do such a great job over there at 24/7 Bucknuts. And so tell us real quick how people can find you on social media or your website and stuff like that. And, where they can find you.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Steve Hellwagen, StevHellwagen. It's the only time I've ever seen the word wagon spelled with an E-N is with my name. That's how it is. And only one L too. So, and no, I didn't play at Ohio State. I'm not Jim Stillwagon, who played at Ohio State in 1968, which was the year I was born. People actually confuse that as well, believe it or not. And our site is bucknuts.com. We're part of the 24/7 Sports Network, covering football, recruiting, basketball, everything that's going on at Ohio State. We're all over it. And proud to, for me, full-time, I think this is my 27th consecutive year. I did part-time back to the late 80s on football and full-time on basketball back to the late 80s. So, looking forward to getting going with this season. As I said, we're getting right ahead and have some interviews with some players up on our site probably later tonight. And have an interview with Coach Day and Coach Knowles from yesterday that's up on Bucknuts as well. So go to bucknuts.com. We've got coverage of everything going on at Ohio State.
Well, Steve, again, thank you so much for joining us. And, just a few days away till, like you said, we can start making new memories on September 3rd against Notre Dame. So appreciate you for joining us. And, hopefully we can have you back on in the future.
Yep. No problem. Take care.
Thanks, Steve. All right. Appreciate you guys all for watching and listening. And thanks for tuning into the 330 Sports Show. We'll have plenty more for you on Thursday. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate